Relationships rule. That's my motto. I'm Janice Porter, and I love to share the power of relationship marketing to help grow and impact business. I've grown my business by building and nurturing relationships, and I'd like to help you do the same. Welcome to the Relationships Rule podcast, where connection means everything. Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Relationships Rule. My guest today is actually helping shape not just the future of business, but the future of its leaders. Jeremy Williams is with me all the way from France, which I find very exciting and romantic, actually, but that's not even part of the conversation. Jeremy is the head of coaching at Founders Path, where he's training the next generation of teen entrepreneurs in skills like AI, blockchain, and emotional intelligence. He's also the creator of Peer Coaching 460, a program designed to foster connection and collective intelligence across industries. Today, we're going to explore how Jeremy is using the power of relationships to develop entrepreneurial minds in Gen Z and why emotional intelligence may just be the edge that tomorrow's leaders need most. Welcome, welcome to the show, Jeremy.
Thanks, Janice. Great to be here and excited for our discussion.
Perfect. Well, let's jump in by starting with Founders Path. What drew you to this role and how did the mission resonate with your own journey?
Right. Well, I actually first met the CEO, Aaron, of Founders Path in January of this year, just after he had kicked off his company, so the journey. And within a couple of minutes of listening to Aaron pitch what his mission was, I was sold. Because as far as I'm concerned, I think many people would agree with me, in many countries around the world, the education system has broken in many senses, and many people, parents included, and I'm one of those, would feel that the education system in many cases is not preparing our children for the reality that they're going to go into.
Yeah.
So this seeming sort of misalignment of education and the real world, I think, is really starting to cause concern for parents and businesses alike. So the idea of helping teenagers develop their emotional intelligence and all the aspects that come under that, along with, you know, their tech knowledge. So going beyond just consuming content, but actually creating it using this amazing technology, you know, the importance of building really solid relationships and how the emotional intelligence and artificial intelligence and blockchain, all of this tech, can work together hand in hand to really open their minds and allow them to create businesses and solutions that the world really needs. So that's why I got involved with Founders Path.
Well, do you have teenagers yourself?
Yes, we have an 11-year-old and a 13-year-old. So,
are they being involved in this program? Because I can't see why they wouldn't be, except that it's dad doing it.
Exactly. Dad's going first. I'm running one of the cohorts along with my team of coaches. But yes, hopefully they'll be joining in the coming months and years. Absolutely.
Okay. So what's it like coaching? Is it 13 to 17 year olds in advanced topics like AI and blockchain? And how do relationships play a role in this learning? I know you're just into your first cohort now, but you probably got enough of a take on it to answer that.
Yeah, I mean, there's no getting away from the fact that this period, the teenage years, you know, it's a period of change, radical change, discovery. There's a lot going on. So it's ranging from, you know, as a coach, from a coach's perspective, there's the discipline needed to make sure that there are clear rules in place, which I think is absolutely essential. But there's also the mindset. Because they're coming out of the traditional education system, well, they're still in it, of course, but we need to reboot their mindset into more of an entrepreneurial way of thinking, and open their minds to, you know, generative AI as an example, how to prompt, because it's not like using Google, as many of us now know, and technologies like blockchain, and of course, and then as we go into the emotional intelligence side of things. So it's certainly mind-opening, it's a challenge. However, what we have all noticed as coaches is the energy, the enthusiasm, and the passion to make positive change in the world is palpable. It's from the first session, we all noticed that.
Really?
That gives us a lot of, it was me, a lot of, you know, optimism for our future.
So they all had ideas and of how they want to change the world, so to speak.
Yeah, most of them. I
Yeah.
mean, we started off with the Ikigai model and, the passions that they have and what they're good at, what the world can pay them for or what could, make positive change. So we discussed that model along with some others to get them thinking, put them into small groups. But some of the initial ideas that some of them brought to the first workshop were great. And now we're sort of, in many cases, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 weeks into the cohorts. And we're moving well into the product phase now and off into marketing. So we've got five sprints. We start off with research, then we move through to product, and then marketing, sales, and pitching.
Okay,
So
got it.
the process of starting a business and
Right,
launching.
right. So I'm curious. This isn't on my questions here, but it always comes up for me some other things. And the thing that's coming up for me right now is, you're doing this over video conferencing, right? Over Google Meet, and these are kids who are probably, well, you've probably got all different kinds. You've got the what I call the but sir, who was this kid in my class when I was in school who would interrupt the teacher all the time because she had an idea that she had to, or she had to answer first. And then there's the listeners. But generally speaking, I'm picturing these kids all have their phones in front of them because that's what they are normally doing in front of their phones. They're not interacting as much. So did that be, was that an issue, or were these kids initially, all in?
Well, we encourage them to use the technology, all right, because this is not a traditional coaching journey from a coaching perspective, but also a learner's perspective. We don't have PowerPoint presentations with lots of slides and lots of content. We're not teaching them a mini MBA,
Right.
right? That's really clear. So what we do is we have our, the curriculum that we follow. We have the missions that we ask them to complete between the workshops, which are weekly, they're 90-minute workshops. Okay. We have a clear deliverable in the workshop. They're highly interactive. We put them into two breakout sessions of about 30 minutes each. You start off with a 15-minute warmer and a review of their mission, two 30-minute sessions where they work together in small groups, leveraging the tools. Excuse me. And then we finish off with a 15-minute cool down, setting the mission. Then off they go. So we get them to use ChatGPT, Gemini, Grok, the go-to AI tools for many people now. Where with the product sprint that we're well into now, we're using during the workshops in groups. They are actually building their products and challenging each other what they're actually building. So we're advising them on the tech, but they're also discovering it. So we are effectively as coaches, we're guides. And we're project managers of this 6-month journey. Yeah.
So when they're in the breakout rooms, do you have, you can't be in more than one place at a time. Are you going from group to group, or is there someone else in there helping you?
No, exactly. I actually set them up in their groups, and then I give them a few minutes to settle in, and then I rotate through the rooms, just quick
Right.
visit, checking that they're
Got it.
moving in the right direction, answering any questions. Yeah.
Got it. Okay. So what, why do you think you're an emotional intelligence practitioner. So why do you think emotional intelligence is so critical for entrepreneurial success, especially with these young people, to start them young?
Yeah, great question. So we're obviously in an era of AI and the buzz is palpable. I mean, everybody can feel it.
Right.
So the way I look at it is that this technology is not going away. We have to embrace it. There's no doubt about it. So I see a world that we're moving into where, so we've got the tech mastery on one side of the equation, how we can leverage that to really boost our productivity. And on the other side, we've got our emotional intelligence. So how we can build and nurture meaningful connections with other humans. And there's something that we've communicated to our teenage founders, many times throughout the journey so far, is that getting the balance between these two aspects is critical to their success because business is about people. It always has been about people and it always will be. The technology will come and go. And it will have a greater impact. There's no doubt about that. But people buy from people. So you've got to be able to build those relationships and nurture them.
Oh,
So this
that's like music to my ears, right? But are they buying it? Can you see, like, have you Can you share like a moment or a story where you've seen a breakthrough in one of the students because of that, because of relationship or coaching interaction?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, for example, one of the things I advocated very early on was that feedback. I said to my students and the other coaches too, is like, you have to think about feedback as a gift. And as you're developing your idea and you're moving towards your MVP, you need to be sharing it with people and getting their feedback and not taking it personally, taking it in a constructive way. So we talked about the GDD feedback model. So what's good, what's difficult, and anything that you would do differently. So very
Oh,
constructive
like that.
feedback model, yeah, which is great. I put them into some breakouts and we actually role played, how to push and pull feedback. And I said to them, the first thing you need to do before you actually ask people for feedback is to reflect on how do you as an individual receive feedback when it's, especially when it's pretty critical, from parents, from brothers, sisters, classmates, friends, etc. So
And
we
did they know themselves well enough to know that answer?
most of them, I think, had a pretty good
Okay.
understanding of that. A lot of them said, hey, it's quite difficult, especially when it's a little bit edgy, it's
Sure.
not what I would expect. So we discussed that and I put them into breakouts and we role played some scenarios. They shared some of the work they've been working on and they got some constructive feedback. And we won't really accept, oh yeah, that's great.
Right.
It's like, okay, this is not like a backslapping, exercise, but there's always something that could be better, no matter how good it is. So let's move in this direction. And we've seen some great results since then. So very important part of the journey,
Oh,
feedback.
totally. Because I mean, that's going to help them in life, like in spades, really. I mean, tenfold, that's going to help them, right? And if you know how you respond to things early on, then you've also got a longer time to change those things that maybe don't work for you. So I think that's really good. Is there one little instance, without saying a person's name, that you could share, where you saw something brilliant happen?
Yeah, there was one particular instance that comes to mind where a guy had got particularly attached to a particular color scheme for his app, and he put together like a mock-up in Canva and was sharing it.
Yes.
And two or three of his peers challenged him on the colors that he had chosen. And I knew, because he'd already said that he was really attached to this particular color scheme. And he was challenged by some of his peers. And the following week, we got everybody together and he shared what he had done and he changed the colors. And he actually said, that was hard for me because these are my favorite colors. This is the image I had from week one. And, I listened to the feedback. So
Wow.
I have to listen to my customers, were his words. So
Fantastic. Yes. And how old is that person?
14.
Okay, perfect. And how many of the 20, I know you have 24 people in this cohort. How many of them are male and how many of them are female? Just curious.
So sorry, just a quick correction. So we have 10,
Oh,
maximum
I'm
of 10
sorry. Okay,
in
10.
our groups, and
Where
then
did
it
I
goes
get 24 from?
24 weeks, 6 months.
Oh, okay. I knew I got it from somewhere. Okay, so you have 10 children or teenagers in this group. How many are male and how many are female?
Generally, I would say the spread is about 50-50 at the moment,
Good,
which
good.
is
Well, that's a,
encouraging. Yeah, it's been
yeah, that
really
is
encouraging.
encouraging. Yeah, awesome. All right. So, and by the way, just as an aside, if I ever get a chance to work with them, let me know, because I love to see how the future is coming and what's, the positive side of what's coming up, right? By seeing kids
Yeah.
like that, it would be great.
Yeah, it's really exciting. And also we're gamifying the experience as well more and more. So with awards and badges for it and points for achieving certain goals.
Yeah.
So there are some big changes afoot and we're listening to to the feedback from the students each session and their parents as well. And we're iterating constantly because it needs to be gamified. They
Yeah.
love the idea of competition. And positive encouragement. So, yeah,
You
that's
know,
the way.
that's really interesting because we have gone through, and I don't know, I haven't taught for a long time, but I used to be a school teacher years ago, and it got to a phase where everybody got a ribbon, right, in sports day, for example, and there was no competition. And has it swung the other way, or is this just something that the kids are craving and they want it, and so this is a good place to put it in?
No, it's absolutely, they really want it. They love the competition. We can't have awards for everybody. I mean, that has to be
Well,
that focus.
was playing this game last night with my granddaughter and my husband and my daughter, and she's six, just turned six. And it's a tricky game, actually. It's called Uzzle, which is kind of interesting, I thought. Yeah, and it's a series of blocks that have different images on them, and you can turn them and find the right combination. So you have a card you turn over, and it's got the pattern that you have to put together with the blocks. And there's easier ones and more difficult ones. And she's pretty good at it for someone who just turned six, but she didn't win the second time, and she didn't like that. She cried because she didn't win. And so, there's a lesson there. Of course, you can't win all the time, but I love that she has that competitive spirit that she wanted to win, right? So we had to, balance that out a little bit too, but she's only six, so I'm glad she has a competitive spirit.
It's good. It's really important. I mean, yes, the journey is important, but the outcome is also very important. So it's a balance of the two, isn't it? I mean, taking part
Absolutely.
is super important, but you have to compete to win. Yeah,
That's
absolutely.
right.
You have to have your race as well.
So I thought that was interesting. Okay, let's switch gears now a little bit and let's talk about your peer coaching 460. I love that. I don't know where the number comes from because I always hear coaching 360, right? That 360, a lot of people use that. So was that intentional, and what does it mean?
Yeah, okay. So peer coaching 460. So the four is for four people. That's what it stands for. All right. So it's four people over 4 weeks, four consecutive sessions, 60 minutes a session. All right.
Got
That's
it.
where the 460 came from.
Okay.
So the idea was that in many of the consultancy training sessions that I've run over the years, I very often had, so you have a company that would say, okay, we have a need for, to improve our communication or feedback. So there's a big buzz. They get a ambassador high up in the C-suite. They put it out for tender. They get to the company, they choose the company comes in, they have a one, a meeting, they work out, there's a needs analysis that is done, and then obviously the training's put together, big buzz, and it's rolled out. Everybody turns up because in many cases they feel pressure to turn up. Everything starts, and then normally what happens is over time, less and less people turn up. And you end up with sort of 30, 40% of the originals sort of hanging on whilst the session finish or the cohort finishes. And there's a certain amount of value there, yes, but the retention is always tricky. There are always reasons why not to turn up. And what I felt, and I also heard from quite a few students and participants over the years, was that, hey, great subject, but I really wanted to share a real challenge that I was facing. But my boss was in the training, or colleague that I was having a bit of a challenge with was in the session, so I couldn't say anything, even though I wanted to. This started to come back, this feedback started to come back to me time and time again. I remember thinking, well, there's an opportunity here where you could have one-to-one coaching for sure, or mentorship that would help in that situation. What about something in the middle where you could, if you have a challenge, you could meet up with peers from different companies, different industries, with different roles, and get insight from their perspective. And that's where I came up with the term collective intelligence, because my sentiment was, well, if you've got a challenge as a business professional, no matter who you are, it's almost sure that someone else has had a similar challenge somewhere else in the world, in another company at another time.
For
Wouldn't it be
sure.
great if you could pull on that? So the idea was and is, and that's what we do, is that you come together with three other professionals. You have a session that's dedicated to your challenge. So you share for X amount of minutes. Okay. So 10 minutes typically is how it works. The first 10 minutes, your challenge, clearly and concisely as you can. You then get a period of time where your peers asked you questions just to ascertain, the specifics of your challenge. And then what we ask the candidates to do is switch off their camera and mic, pick up a pen and paper, and just to quietly observe, okay, their peers deliberating over their challenge and looking at their perspectives, taking notes if they so wish. And then for the last, that's 20 minutes. And for the last 20 minutes, you bring everybody back together and we share the insight. And the idea is that that candidate then leaves that session with some actionable points that they can then take away and apply straight away.
Yeah,
And
I
then
love it.
next time they come back with the peer coaching hat on and their colleague takes the hot seat. So you build a community, a very intimate community during those 4 weeks of four professionals from four different industries
Right.
perspectives. And what normally happens is those people connect on LinkedIn. And then when the cohort is finished, they've all got insight from their peers. They've built connections. There's been a psychologically safe environment. And they hopefully go on to, stay connected and continue building.
Love it.
And that's what I'm doing. I'm building that community.
So it really doesn't matter what industry they're in, really. It's just that they're not in that same company, but they've experienced a similar issue. So do you have to screen that out first so you can match people up?
I've been doing this manually at this stage because I'm relatively new to this, but I'm actually right now in the process of creating an app, and I will actually interview candidates myself, so for 30 minutes or so, to profile them, and then I will actually have an AI. I'm building at the moment an AI agent that will actually match based on criteria that I'm defining, that will actually match complementary profiles and schedule
That makes me think of, have you seen Bordy? Boardry?
No, I haven't. No.
Okay, check that out. It's an app, or it's, I don't know, I guess it's an app. I've actually saw it through LinkedIn, where somebody I knew had connected with Boardy, and then he shared Boardy with me, and then I had my own conversation. And Boardy is an AI tool, I guess, who matches people to network them
Great.
for networking. So it's a similar kind of thing where you'll get the information and then it will match it with people. I don't know. Anyway, it's quite fascinating. So I'll talk to you about that offline if you want. But anyway, it sounds similar to what you're doing, but fascinating. So you too, just like your students in your founder's path, are leveraging technology, but being sure that you're focused on the human side of things and people getting help from people and building relationships. I love that.
Absolutely. And I'm really focused on striking that delicate balance between the human side and the tech side. And I think companies that do that and get that balance right will have a huge advantage over the companies who just stick with, we are people centric and we're going to resist the technology, or we're running around with all this tech, but we don't quite know what we're doing with it, but it's cool, and forget that. And the people get frustrated because no, they've not had any training and they're just thrown in with these new systems. They don't know what they're doing. So it's you can go one way or the other as a company, and
Yeah,
it's
for
very
sure.
important to strike the balance. Yeah.
Interesting. So now you've worked with executives and you're working with teens. What similarities come up when it comes to growth and leadership? Because I'm sure that you can see the future CEO in your group and the future account exec, whatever. I don't know. Do you see similarities when it comes to working with execs and now with teens?
Yes, there are similarities, but the thing that really strikes me and what I love about working with the teenagers is that they look at things in a very simple way. They don't overcomplicate.
Well, they haven't had the time to do that, right?
Exactly. So the innocence, in a way, is great because they look at things in a very simplistic way. And I mean that in a positive sense,
Yes,
of
I hear
course.
you. Yeah, I love it.
And I think we should take a leaf out of their book because I've seen so many companies, executives in companies that just overcomplicate things, especially with technology, like another app for this, another app for that. And I know one company have like 35 different apps that they use. So the onboarding takes an eternity because if you know how to use these, it's just a complete mess and it causes a lot of stress. So for me, the idea of keeping it simple, straight to the point, and again, with the founders, I was just having a discussion with them last week where I said, if you can, like Richard Feynman famously said, explain it to me like I'm five, right? So the people who can take something complex, strip it down into the bare essentials and communicate it so a grandmother would understand it, a 10-year-old would understand it, and a business executive would understand it. If you can do that repeatedly and do it very well, you will be worth your weight in gold because so many people overcomplicate simple things.
Oh, that's such a good lesson and statement. Honestly, I totally agree. It's so true. And that's why I think they say it from the mouths of babes, right? They always say from the mouths of babes. That's an expression I remember from years ago because they say it like it is, or they say it as, simply as they can. So I love that. So
Exactly.
yeah,
And
you're
just one thing, if I may.
yes.
The Toyota 5 Whys. We used this a few weeks back.
What is this?
So a Toyota, when they want to develop a new
Oh, five
function,
whys. Okay, got it. Yeah.
so you just drill down by asking why. And when we were looking at the product for the team founders, we were digging into the features. That's what we actually employed in the breakouts. And they thought it was really funny initially, but I was like, no, there's a logic to this. And
Okay.
it's the first question very often that children ask, isn't it? It's one of the first words, why?
Yes. Why? Yeah. Yeah,
It's
that's
just.
good. So when you say product, are you saying it generically? Are some of the kids looking at a service, or are they all doing some kind of technology app or product?
It's a variety. Generally speaking, we're looking at apps, but some of them are starting websites with shops, with
Okay, yeah.
product that maybe will be, because at the moment the founders are Polish. Okay, we're in the Polish
Oh,
market, so we just have
right. Oh,
groups entirely.
interesting.
Yeah, and we have a few groups in English that we've been trialing. But in September this year, we're going to go global. So English, of course, will be the main language that we'll focus on.
Okay, so now I've got more questions because, okay, I forgot about that. So the first group is Polish children, teenagers.
The first few groups, yeah, we've got
Yeah,
about
do you speak Polish?
no.
So you're doing it in English, or?
We checked their English level before we onboarded them
Oh,
into the
okay.
business.
But why I'm asking is because how global is global today? Like, are the Polish teenagers as savvy as or not, or more savvy than the North American teenagers? I don't know. I'm curious. Or is it global?
No, I mean, we've started because the company is Polish. We started off with the Polish market,
Sure.
which makes sense. What I've been very impressed with is the level of English, 13 to 17-year-olds with a B2 plus level of English. So, they can have a good conversation and it
Yeah.
can work very, very well. But once we get to September, when we say we go global, then we'll open it up to different countries that will be English speaking primarily. So it's
Okay,
America.
but back to the Polish teenagers, how sophisticated are they compared to North Americans?
Right. Okay. So, good question. There is definitely in these countries, so Poland,
Yeah.
Ukraine, Germany to a degree as well, maybe France, but to a lesser extent, there's a real focus on maths and science. Definitely. So that's very clear to me.
Okay.
Focus and also as well English, the importance of the English language if they
Sure.
want to. Global, if they want to go, to Silicon Valley, they obviously have to speak a good level of English. So that's very evident. Absolutely.
So, but so, well, I don't know. Does it come out like I was going to say socially, so their interactions with each other, perhaps, is that as Are they as comfortable? Is it different? Sorry.
I would say the interaction in the groups and with each other is it seems to be very fluent. They challenge each other. There's humor there. No, I would say I'm so far so good from what I've experienced is very impressed.
I'm just curious because maybe it's leveled off now, because the world is so small these days and everyone's caught up. Maybe that's it. Yeah, and I get that. So that's cool. All right. So can you, I'm sure that you would say yes to this, but how and what was going to be the biggest thing, do you think, that comes from what you're doing with young people towards business leadership? Is it going to up level the leadership that we're going to see in the future? We have to, of course, but is it going to, I guess my question is really, is it going to augment the education systems? Is it going to bypass the education systems, or is it going to help them get caught up in the future?
Yeah, that's the billion-dollar question, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
We're already, how I look at it is that we're already seeing millennials in positions of power in very big and influential global companies and now in government as well. So we've definitely had a changing of the guard in the last 5 to 10 years, that's for sure. And I think the change that many of us have experienced as a result of that has been pretty radical. We've seen company culture changing, the Google type office that's been replicated millions of times now around the world. So well-being being more of a focus, place to work, back to office after the lockdowns, etc. So we've already seen a huge acceleration in many aspects of modern business. This next generation that are coming through are very straight talking from what I can see. They have very clear vision of doing things in a very fair way. One thing that has really struck me, and I'm a big fan of this, they're massive advocates of meeting up face to face.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So they obviously they're very savvy with the online stuff. They're very used to it now, but they're crying out to meet up face to face and have real human connection at events. And
Love it.
that's something we're also considering doing
Sure.
as we scale Founders Path as well. So that's already in the pipeline. So that they're very focused on emotional intelligence, on how they show up in the eyes of stakeholders. So that brings me a lot of comfort. So I think with AI taking more ownership of the deliverables that we've all become preoccupied with, KPIs, OKRs, etc., I think what this is going to do is it's going to bring the business world at large back to focusing on the journey, to move away from this obsession with destination, which the AI is going to take care of way better than humans can because it'll be much faster, much more accurate. It's going to push us back to focus on what's important, which is, as what we said earlier on, it's the people in life and business.
The
So therefore,
relationships.
yeah, if you're going to focus on the relationships and building those and nurturing those relationships, you have to spend time. There's no app, there's no quick fix to building a meaningful, trust-based relationship with another human being. You have to spend the time. So that's something that this generation really want to do. And I think that's absolutely very timely, and it brings me a lot of a lot of warmth to see that because that's where we need to go, in my view.
Oh, absolutely. And that's music to my ears, as I said earlier. I love it. It's interesting. And it's necessary, and especially over here in the North America nowadays, for sure. All right. Thank you. And what would you say your best piece of, I'm putting you on the spot, business advice is today for my listeners? So those are people, who are, they range from baby boomers down to through all, the generations, who are listening to you. What's your best piece of business advice today?
It would be to become comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Ooh, I like that.
And I think in this era of exponential technology, obviously, especially around AI in particular, is play with the technology in work and outside of work. Be curious about it, really explore it so you know what the pros and cons are of this technology. But at the same time, don't lose focus that business is about people. So I look at it as that, that circle, and there's a split down the middle. Tech, brush up that as best as you can. And the emotional intelligence side, building relationships, trust, talk the talk, but walk the walk. And I think that would be my best advice. So become comfortable with being
Being
on,
on.
get out of that comfort.
Brilliant. Love it. That's great. And anybody listening who may be interested as you go global with Founders Path, how can people find you, get hold of you, ask you questions, et cetera? I will put it in the show notes, of course, but feel free.
Yeah, so founderspath.pl is the website. So that's
That's
the
Poland, right? That's Poland.
website. Exactly. Yeah,
Yeah.
so founderspath.pl. And then my profile on LinkedIn as well, because I've got Founders Path right on my profile there as
Yes, you
well.
do.
So you can be directed to peer coaching and to Founders Path from my LinkedIn. Yeah.
Have you ever been over to North America?
No, I would love to come over. It's on my bucket list. I've been
Okay.
many other places, not North America.
Okay, well, let me know if you're coming West Coast. And thank you. Yeah, no, I'm in Canada, but I'm on the West Coast. I'm in Vancouver, right? So, and you got a clear path down to Washington, Oregon, California, right?
It's too tempting, isn't it? I'll have to take you up on that.
Yeah, it is. I know. I actually last weekend had dinner with a woman that I had met and become colleagues, LinkedIn colleagues, and we exchanged some business ideas and stuff. And she's in California. She was up here for a conference, and she and her husband met my husband and I for dinner, and it was like we were old friends. It was fantastic, because we've been connected for so long. So that's always fun. So thank you. Thank you for that. And just to wrap up, I'll just tell my audience that I think that we've heard today that entrepreneurship isn't just about ideas, it's about people. And you, Jeremy, have shown us that when we equip young leaders with emotional intelligence, strong relationships, and a sense of purpose, we're investing in a future where business is more human, more collaborative, and more impactful. So whether you're mentoring, leading, or learning yourself, your work, Jeremy Williams's work reminds us that connection is the foundation for growth at any age. I love it. Thank you so much for being here. And thank you to my audience as well. If you like what you heard, please reach out and check Jeremy's work out. I'm sure he'd love to have a conversation. And remember to stay connected and be remembered. Thanks for joining us. If today's show inspired you to make a new connection, why not start with me? Head over to LinkedIn and connect with me. Be sure to let me know you are a podcast listener because I select one listener each month who connects with me on LinkedIn for a complimentary profile audit. And you know I love to meet new people, so I hope you take me up on it. Don't forget to stay connected and be remembered.